Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. We're super excited to have you here. My name is Jazz. I am one of the leaders here. I serve in COY. I serve in our young adults as well as our media team. Shout out COY. You guys are all up front. And I've been super excited. I've been coming to this church for more than a decade now, which is insane. I started coming here when I was like 17. And now I am leading some of my old youth pastor's kids. And I have never felt so old in my life. Like, they call me Unk, and I can feel my knees get sore and my back get ache, and I'm just like, wow, this is it. Also, being here for so long, I realized I've never introduced my family. Like, Pastor Joy introduced her family last week, so I want to actually put up a photo of my family. So that's my parents. Those are my brothers. Some will say that we're triplets, but I think I'm the cooler brother, but I'll just say that now. And can we get the next photo also? And so this photo I just wanted to show because the one on the left is my dad, and the one on the right is James, which is like a close family friend. And I just want to clarify something because a lot of people have approached me and be like, hey, I saw your dad last week. And then I've come to realize that they're talking about James. And I'm just like, that's not my dad. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I was with him, and he wasn't at Costco on Saturday, so. But anyways, that's it. I just wanted to introduce that. So, this morning, church family, we are on our Spheres message. And so, how to live out Sunday faith onto Monday to Saturday. And we started this series about a year ago in order to help us see the significance of God's calling in our everyday life. And we return to this series every now and then because it is a great reminder that God's teaching, purpose, and renewal isn't contained only on a Sunday morning. It is meant to overflow in our everyday life. And the reality is, as often as Christians, we tend to subconsciously separate these things. Like we separate the secular parts of our lives, work, all these other things, and the sacred Christian parts of our life, church Sundays, Bible studies, and all this stuff. But church is sacred, and that's what we think. Work, school, day-to-day life, well, that's just, you know, your everyday ordinary. But did you know we spend a third of our life working, a third of our life sleeping, for some of you less, because I don't know what you guys worry about at night, and a third of you doing your daily activities. Now, if we believe this, and if this is what stats is, do we really believe that work and other daily activities outside of church is something God intended to be meaningless and purposeless? I don't think so. I think there is purpose in everything that God does. Proverbs 16:4, it says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. Our work, our tasks at school, or being a parent at home, our hobbies, sports clubs, and decisions we make every day seem unimportant in the grand scheme of eternity. From what coffee shop I'll be going to this morning and what career I'm choosing for myself, all of these micro to macro decisions, all of these do matter and are meant to be meaningful. And if you have bought into this idea that the only thing that matters in the building of God's kingdom is what you do in church or in your small group or in your Bible study or in your devotional, I encourage you, scrap that idea. Because what God will do in us will not be contained within those little bubbles of Jesus we pepper throughout our days and our weeks. Because it's meant to be more than that. So, this morning, church family, I hope to open our eyes to the calling of God in our unseen ministry. Our everyday Monday to Saturday. So, I want to start off by asking a question. Who here has heard of the waffle spaghetti theory? Yeah, so I know, waffle spaghetti theory. So, for those that don't know, I'm an expert in relationships. No, I'm not. I've read The Meaning of Marriage. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not. I am horrendous and I am learning. But the waffle and spaghetti theory, it is a communication metaphor used to differentiate how men and women think. Because we know. The struggles there. It suggests that men think in compartmentalized boxes like waffles. So Sister, okay. I'm about to enlighten you guys. Compartmentalizing and creating separate organized boxes for work. So just like a waffle, they have a work box, a family box, hobby box, and sports box. And they generally focus on one thing at a time, sequentially. And we have a nothing box, fun fact. I spend a lot of my time there, by the way. Like, I've recently got into a dating relationship, and I spent a lot of time there, I've come to realize. Well, women's thoughts, okay, are interconnected like spaghetti. Women's thoughts, feelings, and memories are all interconnected, similar to a plate of intertwined noodles. A single thought can affect multiple areas of life at once. So guys, if she's, you know, struggling with some things, typically you can't just solve the thing because it affects 10 other things. So you just gotta, yeah, so you just gotta be patient, let her thought it out, just listen and wait. That's great. Spaghetti waffles, expert. No, I was kidding. But anyways, here's the thing. When it comes to our spiritual lives, a lot of us live like it's a waffle. And I'm guilty of this too. We've got a work box, daily activities box, and a Jesus box. Right now, we're in the Jesus box. We're worshiping, listening to the message, and being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Then tomorrow comes, and we close this box, and we get into our work box. And for whatever reason, Jesus didn't come with us. And we wonder throughout the week, why God feels so distant? Why does he feel so absent? And for me personally, this is kind of how I used to think. I had my work box, which is nursing, and my daily activities box, which are my hobbies and sports. And then my Jesus box, which is the ministry I'm involved in, CLY, Sundays, and young adults. And all of those things are like compartmentalized in its own way, and I deal with them sequentially throughout my day. To me, I come alive when spiritually when I'm in my Jesus box. When I'm serving and leading in youth and building the kingdom, the house of the Lord. It's amazing. It's fulfilling. Then Monday comes and I get into my work box. I'm locked in at work. I'm not actively praying, nor am I thinking about Jesus with my work. And I know some of you guys are, but I just want to say this was a habit I needed to learn. I'm not actively praying, nor am I thinking about Jesus in my work. I don't pray for opportunities or to evangelize intentionally. When opportunities come, I take advantage of it, and sure, that's when I get to bring out Jesus. But I'm not sure if you've ever felt like that, where it's hard to merge the two boxes, you know? It's hard to put them together to turn into a spaghetti, whether it's a problem of lack of awareness or just lack of intentionality, or maybe we're just, like, we just don't think about it. And I just want to say, this was me about 2 years ago, too. But something shifted in my perspective. Matthew 25, verse 21, it says, his master replied, well done and good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That line right there, the well done, good and faithful servant. I felt convicted. I asked myself the question, am I using every avenue God has given me, has provided to me, to reflect his character and share the gospel? Because if I'm living boxes to boxes to boxes, then am I taking advantage of each box to be able to share the gospel and exhibit and imitate the character of God? Because if I were to pass away today and face them on Judgment Day, and God showed me the record of my life, would he be able to say, Jazz, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or would I see a list of names who I could have shared the gospel to, but didn't because I couldn't merge my two boxes together? And so I want to encourage us, if you live in a world where those things are still separate, it's like, let's try and see where God is working in us, through us, because this is our unseen ministry. The work box, the hobbies box, we are meant to reflect Jesus in every part of our life. And so I want to share a story in my life. And this is a pretty heavy story. And I just want to use this as an example. For those that don't know, I mentioned it earlier, I work as a nurse at Wetaskiwin Hospital. And it's been pretty great. I love my job. And if I'm being honest, I used to not even like nursing. I remember telling my preceptor in school, I don't even know if I'm going to continue this. Heads up. But I stuck with it because I was almost done anyways. You know, I got my license and I started working in an acute care and palliative unit. For those that don't know, palliative unit is end of life stage. And this was me about 2 years ago. A few days after Canada Day, I was going to work just like every other day and not realizing that I just walked into the hardest day of my life. I was assigned to be a part of the Code Blue team. It's the team that answers to emergency situations wherever in the hospital. And that morning, around 8 a.m., we got a call for a Code Blue on our own unit. So we all ran in, and I was doing chest compressions on an elderly lady. And what broke me in that moment was this elderly lady was with us in her previous visit. And one of the things that she said to me while we were taking care of her is that she felt safe in our unit. Because we took care of her the last time and she was able to be discharged healthily. And so she trusted us. And we worked on her for almost an hour, and unfortunately we couldn't save her. And that was the first time someone died in front of me that wasn't a palliative patient. And before I even had time to process it, this is what's crazy, about 2.5 hours later, we get another Code Blue. And this time we got called into the emergency room. So I ran again with our team. And this time, I remember, as I was running through the hallways, I remember grandparents crying in the hallway, parents outside the curtain, and when I stepped in, it was a child. We did CPR again, and I had the same role, chest compressions, and again, we weren't able to save this kid. And this was a heartbreaking moment for me because one of the reasons why I didn't even like working it with kids is because of just how fragile everything is and how precious children are. And I remember going home that night, and actually, even during the compression, I was praying. I was asking God, it's just like, God, please, like, work your miracle in this moment. Save, breathe life. We know you can do this, God. I know you can do this. But nothing happened. And I remember going home that night, sitting in my room, mourning for people I barely knew and asking the God of the universe, what am I doing this for? And is this really the calling that you have for my life? God, is this nursing, is that the calling for my life? And for some of you are asking, it's just like maybe you're struggling trying to understand the calling or the season that you're in your life. But that's a question I ask all the time. What am I even doing this for? And to be completely honest, I didn't get an answer. There was no answer from God. It was just complete silence. I was sitting in my room praying, seeking God. Where are you, God? Silence. But something did change in me. Something did shift in my heart. And one of the things I said was there was a shift in my heart to care even more, to love even more, to show Jesus more, to be more intentional in the field of nursing. You know why? Because I work in a place where death can be a weekly reality, when people are at their lowest, where life feels fragile. And this is where God has placed me. And I realized maybe I'm not in nursing just for it to be a career. Maybe I'm not just there to save lives. Maybe I'm placed in a place like this to show up in moments where people can see a reflection of God's character when they need it most. Sometimes. Because sometimes when we are struggling in life, when we see people struggling in their life, the best thing that we can do is to exhibit the love of God, to exhibit the patience and the peace that God brings. And I may not be able to change the outcome at work, but I can change how I show up in it. I can bring compassion. I can bring peace. I can bring the presence of Jesus into rooms that feel completely broken. And that's when it clicked for me. This isn't just my job. This is my field, and this is where God has placed me. And I want to encourage you, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a barista, whether you're an accountant, God has placed you there for a reason. And I want to encourage you in every minute of every day where you are present, whether at work, at school, at home, in your sports club, or your hobby, this is a field God has placed you in intentionally. Because God can use you in many ways. The question is are you ready to accept that calling? One of the things I don't want us to do is to belittle every season in our life, whether you're working in a job that you don't even like, whether you're in a place you don't even appreciate. I just want you to know somewhere in that room, someone in that room needs a reflection of who Jesus is. Someone struggling at home with family, someone struggling at home with relationships, somebody struggling with depression and anxiety, and the thing that they get to see is you. Are you representing God in where you are? And so I want to use Nehemiah as an example of this. So Nehemiah, he's not a pastor, he's not a prophet. He's a cupbearer to the king. He has a regular job, just as being a barista or a mechanic or anything else. But when he hears about the state of his home, so this was during the Babylonian exile. Jerusalem was falling apart. People were, the Israelites were following idolatry over God. And their hometown is a complete wreck because of it. But when he hears about the state of his hometown, Jerusalem, and the walls being in ruins, it breaks his heart and it moves him, just as it had moved me when I was at work. Nehemiah 1:11, it says, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. So at work, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed and he prayed for favor so that he could go home and rebuild, and he was granted by permission of the king. And because of his position as a cupbearer, and during that time, when you're a cupbearer, you're pretty close with the king. He built a good relationship with the king in his time working there. Then God used his position and his character to gain favor from the king, granting him the ability to go to Jerusalem. And once he was in Jerusalem, he organized the people and they began to work. Isn't that cool? He goes from cupbearer into gaining the favor from the king to going back home. And here's what happened. Nehemiah 2:7. To 18. It says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. So he got back to Jerusalem. He went and talked with them. He's talking with them right now. He says, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And so for us, some of you are like Nehemiah. There is a calling for your life, and you just need to invite God in it. And the gracious hand of God is on you too. So Nehemiah goes from cupbearer to project manager. And this is amazing because Nehemiah's work and his spiritual life are not separate. Notice this. God used Nehemiah as a cupbearer. He prayed, got granted permission. And God used Nehemiah as a project manager. He prayed and was able to rally the people. He was praying and leading while he was working. And even, and here's the thing, as you read the story, when opposition comes from people of officials during that time, Nehemiah kept working, Nehemiah kept leading, and Nehemiah kept leaning on God even when the tough times happens. And so for us, we will have bad days at work. We will have days where people will grind you and challenge you, and sometimes you're at the end of the day, you're eating an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's, and you're still thinking about them, and opposition will be there. But I just want to encourage you, Nehemiah in chapter 5 doesn't just focus on that. He focuses on his work, and he focuses on what God has called him to do in his field. And what's crazy is because he's so focused on what God is doing, he even goes a mile after that. He also, in chapter 5, he also stands up for the poor and confronts injustice among his people. So in conflict, Nehemiah was even bringing God into it. In Nehemiah 5:9, it says, so I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? And so even then, this is Nehemiah calling people out at his work and be like, hey, he's living with integrity. And eventually, this integrity, just as we can be integrity, carry on integrity in our own work, it leads him to being appointed as governor. And this is one of the things. People do not overlook people with integrity. People notice how you work and what you work. And people can see that character. And in just 52 days, the broken walls is rebuilt and the people experience a spiritual renewal. So Nehemiah goes from cupbearer to project manager to governor. And every sphere of influence, every stage of life Nehemiah found himself in, God used them as an example to move forward the kingdom of God. And this is why I connect so much with Nehemiah, because Nehemiah wasn't doing your stereotypical idea of ministry. He wasn't called to be a pastor. He wasn't a Christian counselor. He was a cupbearer that saw brokenness all around him. And God moved him. And I see myself in a similar position. I didn't have this big calling in my life. I didn't have this big calling in my life to be a nurse. I just chose it. Then I found myself surrounded by people hurting, people dying, and families grieving, and I am reminded that just like Nehemiah, I wasn't placed there by accident. I might not have chosen it as a calling, but God was already using it as one. And so for us, again, if you're a mechanic, you're an accountant somewhere, if you're a captain of a volleyball team, God is using that position that you have as a calling to represent and imitate his character. Because you're there not to represent yourself, but to represent Jesus. So the answer, the question again, what am I doing this for? The answer is to represent Jesus, to imitate his character. Again, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. And so, I'm here to be faithful in what's in front of me. I'm here to represent Jesus in how I care, how I speak, and how I serve at work. I'm here because this is the field God has placed me in. And if I serve a God who humbled himself and took on the form of man to walk on this earth, a mighty God who stepped into the middle of this brokenness, who died for my sin, met me when I'm at my worst to give me hope and transform me from the inside out. This hope, this gospel, this news, you better believe that I'm showing up with the same hope, with the same news wherever I am. Because when God's love overflows through me, then the work I do is no longer about me. It is no longer about a paycheck. It is no longer about success. It is no longer about promotion. It is no longer about trying to get a business to carry on. It now becomes a form of worship. Because this is what God has called us to do. When we surrender our life to Christ and we say, God, my God, you are the one I want to follow, we're surrendering every part of our life, including work. And I just want to encourage you, this makes it so much easier when you're at work, because you work in diligence, even if your manager is nagging you or driving you nuts. It's just, everything that I do is not for them. I'm lending them my efforts, I'm lending them my energy, but it's not for them. It is to represent Jesus, and I hope they get to see that. And so I get to serve God in everything that I do. And so now work becomes an avenue to honor and sacrifice, to honor the sacrifice and the love of God so others can see the character of God. And so I will strive to bring the joy of God in the difficult moments. I will strive to bring peace in the middle of hopelessness. And I will meet people at their worst and serve people with compassion. All because this is exactly what Jesus did and what Jesus would do. So I want to encourage you, in everything that you do, submit it to the Lord. It doesn't matter what it is, submit it to the Lord. And some of you are probably thinking, but Jazz, you work at a hospital. There's definitely more opportunities to pray for people, talk about Jesus more and represent him more. I work as a barista, or I'm a mechanic, or I'm an accountant. I don't get to see people sometimes. My question is, and? There's this idea that some career paths, jobs, or activities contribute more to the building of God's kingdom. Being a missionary, being a pastor, or a Christian counselor contribute more to the kingdom of God. But I want to open up to you. This isn't true at all. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Notice this. It's not whatever career path you do. It's not whatever sports club or you join. It's not whatever school you go to. It's just whatever you do. There is no specified boundary. It's just in general, in everything that you do, do it for the Lord. I've used barista as a many example, but you can be a barista, a mechanic, a stalker in no frills, a volleyball player, a chess master. If you choose to dedicate that work to God and work as if you're working for the Lord, then you are an active participant in building God's kingdom. And so some examples of this is that you can pray, if you're working a coffee shop, you can pray for people as they're coming in. They're starting their morning, pray for them. Bring peace into their relation, in their situation. Smile, greet them, but also express that joy that God has in you. Maybe you play on a volleyball team. Are you exhibiting the characters of God? Are you a great encourager in your team? Are you a hard worker and serving in diligence? Or maybe you're a mechanic and you sometimes don't see customers directly, but how do your coworkers see you? You see them every day. Are you building relationships? Are you seeing and meeting them where they're at? Because no matter where you are in your daily life or your stage in life, we are called to serve His kingdom. And we are not limited by what career we do. And as a youth leader, there's this question that gets asked by teens who are graduating. And there's this question, it's, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know which career path to take that represents His calling for my life? And I want to answer you. You don't. You don't. Like, if you're a teen right now, or you're a young adult, or younger, you don't know what God has called you in your life. And the answer is, oftentimes, you'll never know. And because the thing is, I didn't know God's will for my life was to be a nurse. I just chose nursing. I didn't pursue nursing because God has put a strong calling to my life to be a nurse. I was interested in it, and I did it. Then as I told in my story, it wasn't until later that God showed up and showed me my purpose in nursing. Because God's will for your life, and hear this, isn't tied to a career path. If I were to get injured and I lose my leg, I can't do my job anymore, does that mean God's will for my life is done now? If I were to lose my sight and can't assess patients anymore, is God's will for my life done now? I don't think so. God's will for you isn't limited to whether you make the right choice or not. God's will for you is in a career. His will for you are these things. One, to turn from sin and repent. Number two, to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. And what does that mean? To be refined, to be set apart, that God is going to work in you and through you. And number three, to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in Micah 6:8, it says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? This is it, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So again, what is God's will for your life? To turn from sin and repent, to be sanctified, to be grateful, and to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Notice how one, not a single one of these points is related to a career or a job. Notice? Because His life and His will for you is that the posture of your heart, He's not looking at a job, His will for your life is that the posture of your heart invites Him wherever you are. Colossians 3, verse 23, again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And do it for the Lord, not even for yourself, because you're still a human master, and we all know that we struggle too, but do it for the glory of Jesus Christ, because God can use wherever you are, doing whatever you do, to reflect His kingdom and His character through you. And so, guys, as I'm about to close this message, if you could all stand up, actually, I just, there's this idea that we just don't see. Like, our unseen ministry is our everyday life, when ordinary just feels so mundane. So there's two things I want us to remember today. Your everyday life is your ministry. I didn't feel called to nursing, but it became a calling, and I'm choosing to serve God in it. In Nehemiah wasn't just called to be a cupbearer. He was also called to be a project manager, a governor, and he served God in it. And so wherever you choose to serve God, He will present you with opportunities to utilize your gifts. God knows your passions. He knows your strengths. And He knows the gifts He has given you. Our job is to discern and recognize God in those given opportunities. In the field that we are in, can we recognize him? And the best that we can do is to serve in our best capacity so that we can advance the kingdom of God in the seemingly ordinary. So your everyday life, again, is your ministry. We're called to be diligent and to imitate God in it, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. And number two, the call for your life is less about what you do, but how you live. It's less about the career you choose or the title that you hold. It doesn't matter if you're an astrophysicist, a doctor, a barista, or a chef. The question is, are you faithfully serving God in it? Because again, God doesn't look at our achievements. He doesn't look at our successes or the positions that we hold in our workplace, career, clubs, or school. He looks at our hearts. He looks at the posture of our hearts, if we have been diligent, faithful, and obedient in what he has said in front of us. Are we inviting him in our everyday walk? Because at the end of the day, as Christians, it is him we serve. It is him we represent. It is his love. It is his joy. It is his mercy. It is his peace that we represent in every sphere of our life. And so I want to encourage you, church family, let's invite him in every activity. Let's be aware of him in every conversation. Let's invite him in every decision that we make in every moment. Let's invite him as we continue our day. And let's allow God's word and God's character to flow through us, because our everyday is our ministry. And I want to end with this verse, Colossians 3, verse 23. We're going to hammer this verse in. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know, and this is the promise God has for you and me, that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the God that we get to worship. You are the God that we get to follow. And Lord, when we feel distant from you, Lord, we know that that you're still there pursuing us. And Lord, may we just turn around and see you for who you truly are, a loving God, a God who is just in love and wants to follow us, to pursue us, God. But Lord, may we just commit our hearts to you, to follow you. I just want to thank you that you just continue to bless us in our everyday life, Lord. May we just surrender our hearts to you. May nothing else just be on top of our hearts, Lord. May you just pour the Holy Spirit into us so that we can see you in our everyday life. Lord, give us the awareness. Give us the wisdom and knowledge. Give us the abilities to see who needs you in our everyday life, God. And God, we are so blessed that everything you do in us and through us is not meant to be kept in us, but meant to overflow in our everyday life, God. And so, God, we are so grateful for you, in Jesus' name. And I just want to pray an ending prayer to just commit our lives to God, to commit our everyday to God. And so if you guys could just repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for who you are. And I surrender my life to you. I surrender my work. I surrender my relationship. And I surrender my struggles to you, God. And God, thank you for the opportunities this week to represent you and to continue loving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.